this beautiful autumn day. Absolutely glorious. Now, I notice there's a complete row there that is empty. And there's a front row there that is empty. And I notice people are sitting more at the back these days. And I've got a feeling you're sitting at the back so you can be first at the cafe. I think that's what it is. But I'm going to tell you, there's better food here at the front than at the back. It's called the Word of God. So if anybody wants to come down to this row particularly, which I just feel it's prosperity row. If you wanted to get up and come and sit closer to me, you're welcome, or come closer. I think churches should fill up from the front to the back, not from the back to the front. Can you say amen?
Amen.
They don't want to come. They don't want to come. They don't want to come. They want to, no, I'm not missing out on that cafe. I want to get there quick. We're going to read a scripture from Galatians chapter 1 and verse, sorry, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Galatians 5 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul started this church in Galatia. It was in Asia Minor, and he founded it and started it, and he writes a letter to them some years after it started. He continued traveling around. Galatia was an incredible place. It was under the dominion of Rome still. So there was a lot of oppression, a lot of poverty, a lot of people just wanting to break free from the bondage of Rome but couldn't. And it was an interesting place. And he writes this in the fifth chapter. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It is for freedom. Everybody say freedom.
Freedom.
He's telling these people it is for freedom that Christ, who is the anointed one, the word Christ means anointed, it means Messiah, it means empowered one. So you could read it like this. It is for freedom that the empowered one, Jesus, has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Or as it says in the King James Version, a yoke of bondage. So he's telling these Christians, he's writing to Christians. He isn't writing to non-Christians. He's writing to Christians, and he's saying, stand firm, stand fast. You were made free. Don't let yourselves become slaves again. That's what he's saying. And you know, I was thinking about, well, what has Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, set us free from? This is Christians. He set us free. And by the way, anybody in the world can become a Christian. Can I have a few more louder amens than that? Anybody. It's not exclusive to just a few people. This gospel has gone out into all the world. People who don't receive it, well, then that's their problem. But it is for everybody. And the reason what Jesus made us free from, or the reasons, I've just written down a few of them. Freedom from God's condemnation and judgment and punishment for sin. That's a big one. Jesus has set us free. The Messiah, the anointed one, has set us free, the empowered one, from God's condemnation and judgment and punishment. And if you think God isn't going to condemn and judge and punish, I feel really sorry for you, because he will. We even us, who are misfits, people, who are terrible, who are evil, we even have people who are judges to judge when people steal, when people commit adultery and murder. We judge people. If we do, how much more is God going to judge? Freedom from God's condemnation, judgment, and punishment. Freedom from sin. Freedom from bondage. Freedom from lust. That's what he's set us free from. Sin, bondage, lust, addictions, hatred, unforgiveness, jealousy, pride, prejudice, selfishness, greed, etc., etc., etc. There's a whole lot more that he set us free from. And what Paul is saying to these Galatians is, set you free, stay free. Stand firm on what you believe in him. 2,000 years ago, Paul warned the Christians to stay free from the world because this world does not have the answer to life's problems. What a big statement you're making there, John. Come on. Listen to the statement I've just made. This world that you and I live in does not have the answers to life's problems. Paul believed that 2,000 years ago. Let me tell you something. If this world's philosophies, politics, and religion are improving our welfare, our way of living, and our sense of well-being, then we don't need Jesus. 2,000 years ago, Paul was talking to these Galatians. They were living in a miserable world. And he said, stand fast in the freedom that Jesus has made you free. We're 2,000 years on from that. My question to you is the world a better place? Because if this world's philosophies, politics, and religion are improving our welfare, our way of living, and our sense of well-being, then we don't need Jesus. We can do without him. If we've got something better than what he offered us. But the truth is, we don't. Our world is in a mess. Our world, not the world of the Galatians 2,000 years ago. Our world is in a mess. Listen to this. War is rampant. The threat of nuclear war is very real. Hunger, starvation, and disease are not things of the past. They are here right now, destroying millions of lives. Prisons are full. Mental institutions are full. Crime is increasing. People are afraid, insecure, worried, and they're tired. I don't think the world has improved at all. Do you know, right now as I talk to you, we could be on the verge of a nuclear war. I'm not exaggerating, because you got two idiots over the most powerful nations on the earth. I'm serious. I am serious. That are playing games with each other and don't want to stand down. If you've read anything about the history of the Second World War, leading up to the Second World War, nearly everybody in England was saying, there won't be a war, there won't be a war. From 1935 onwards, they were saying, there won't be a war, there won't be a war. There was one man who said, watch out, it's coming. His name was Winston Churchill. And he says, England, you better prepare yourself. Thanks to Winston Churchill pushing, they made sure that their navy was kept up to date. They put some money into it. They put a bit of money into the Air Force, but not a lot. People were saying, no, war, there will be no war. Hitler would not do this. He would not lead us into a war, because we've had a war to end all wars. Do you know which war that was? The First World War. World War I was given the title, the war to end all wars. Since that First World War, more people have been killed in war since then than previously for the 6,000 years previous to that. That was the war to end the war. It didn't. People said there would not be a war. There was a war, a devastating war. The next war will be even worse if it happens. And you may say, it won't happen. There's another idiot that if he had nuclear power, He won't be afraid to press a button. North Korea. No way. We have got people, we have put people in charge of nuclear weapons. And I was listening the other day to how many nuclear weapons, bombs, that Russia has. Just Russia. Now, America's got more, but Russia's got enough nuclear bombs to obliterate every capital city in the world. They've got a stockpile. And a lot of their bombs, by the way, are getting old. Doesn't mean they won't go off, but they may not go off where they want them to go off. There's all sorts of things are happening out there. We are living right now, friends. I don't know what you thought of the news. You'd probably think, well, this is Australia. This is a lucky country. We're not near to anything like that at all. But you, listen. This world has not improved since the time Jesus came. It hasn't, because this world does not have the answers. I was going around the park the other day, taking my dog for a walk, and I was looking at the beauty of the park and the trees and the lake and the birds, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, how clever is God? And then I started thinking about the human body, what an incredible piece of machinery we are. And I thought, what kind of mind must have been able to develop a human body, let alone the galaxies that are out there? The galaxies that we cannot begin to imagine, yet you're made up of molecules so small that you can't see them. Atoms, things smaller than atoms. I thought, what kind of a mind made that? How big is God? And as I was thinking this, I was just going around, I was getting excited thinking, what a God we serve. He's big. He's powerful. The human body works perfectly. You have the right amount of taste buds in your mouth. Wouldn't it be strange, as evolution says, that was just a chance happening, and those taste buds happen to be on your feet? You've got just around right amount, listen to this, of pain sensors in every part of your body. You have more pain sensors on your fingers than you do in other areas. More pain sensors in your eyes than anywhere else. Those places that are really sensitive to being destroyed has more pain sensors. The body has got different pain sensors on the feet, in the hands, in the arm. Different. And it was just an accident, they tell us. Imagine if the pain sensors were all somewhere else, and you had none on your feet, none on your hands, you wouldn't be here now. You wouldn't be here now. So I was thinking to myself, what a wonderful, glorious God he is. How powerful, how mighty, how great is our God. And then I thought, hang on. The world teaches there is no God. Our universities teach there is no God. There is no God. All this happened by chance. There's me, this little individual, thinking, what an incredible piece of machinery I am. I am fabulous. I am wonderful. I am beyond imagination. You haven't got a clue what is going off in this body of mine, and I haven't got a clue what's going off in that body of yours. I don't understand how your brain works, how your brain functions. You don't understand how my brain functions. What an incredible piece of machinery we are. And I'm thinking, what a great mind must have thought this up. And the world says, or the universities say, no. Nobody thought it up. It came from nothing. That's what they tell us. Your kids are being taught that. All around the world, in universities, schools, colleges. Nobody made us. We just happened to evolve from nothing. From the Big Bang that came from nothing. And everything you see, the galaxies, everything. Every single star, planet, everything you, and there are trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of stars. All came from nothing. Come on. All came from nothing. And do you know what? We get sucked in by that and believe it. Well, I'd sooner walk around the park and look at the trees and the grass and the flowers and the birds and say, what a great God you are. You made it all. You fashioned it all. You thought it all out. I am not an accident. If I am, I'm a pretty good one. Take a look. But we're not. We were fashioned by the hand of God. So how big is our God? How great is our God? How mighty is our God? How wonderful is our God? Paul is saying to the Galatians, if Jesus has set you free, then stay free. If you're a Christian, act like one. If you're a Christian, stay free in the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ. We must stand up for what we believe. Make a stand, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to read this to you. Ephesians 6. And look how many times the word stand appears. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, not man, of God. Put on God's armor so that you could take your stand. Everybody say stand. Against the devil's schemes, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Say, stand. Stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, say it again, stand. Paul is saying to these Ephesian Christians, stand. Stand firm. Stand tall. But stand in God's armor, not your own. Don't stand in your own intellect. Don't stand on your own philosophies. Stand in the armor of God and stand against the wiles of the devil. Because I've just talked about a wonderful world, a glorious world, a world that God has created that's so beautiful. But then I look at the world and I see the pain and I see the sorrow and I see the torment and I see the anguish and I see the crime and I see the violence. I see the bloodshed. I see people's hearts failing them for fear. I see all this and I think, God, where did all this come from? You're a good God. You're a good creator. What you make is perfect. I pluck a flower. I love plants and flowers. I pluck a flower and I look at it. I think, perfection itself. Whatever little flower or big flower I take, I look at it, I think, wow, perfection itself. I'd love to look in the mirror and say, perfection itself. And I'm not talking about the physical, because unfortunately we're not, are we? And the older ones can prove that. And all you young ones, don't you worry, you're going to end up like us. All of you. All of you. You are. Don't care how many operations you have, you'll still end up looking like a dried prune. That's a fact. What's happened? And then on top of that, that's a physical. But what about our lives? The mess we cause. The mess that's caused to us. The lies, the cheating, the stealing, the hurt, the unforgiveness, the jealousy. Where's that all come from? God didn't make that. He made a perfect world. Where did that come from? Well, Paul gives us the answer in that scripture I read to you. Listen to what he says. For our struggle, it's like a wrestling match. That's what that word means, to wrestle, to struggle. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. So as well as God being there, there are other powers that are there, evil powers, evil forces that are at work in this world, that maim, that rape, that destroy, powers that want to bring this world down to an ash heap. Powers that's tried over and over and over again. And if you know your history, you'll see what I mean is true. Powers that rise up and kill people and mutilate people and rape, murder, over and over and over and over again. There is another force at work in this world other than God. Thank God that He's moving by His Spirit. But there are other forces that also want you. God wants you. God wants you for Himself, but so does the devil. And let me just tell you something. When the devil gets you for himself, he ain't going to bless you. He isn't going to do good things for you. He's going to mutilate your body, soul, and spirit. He's going to do what he can for you to make you so unhappy, so sad, so lost that God's heart will break because of you. You know, we take death very lightly, but God doesn't. Every time a person dies, and while I'm talking to you now, hundreds are dying. Every death can cause heartache to God. Because if that person dies without Him, if that person dies under the control of Satan, that person is lost for eternity. That breaks the heart of God. Because He made us. He made us. And He loves us. And He wants us for Himself. So Paul is saying to the Christians, you make your stand, will you? You stand firm. I understood the meaning of standing firm some years ago when I was in India. In the early 80s, I traveled to India, northern India, quite a bit, doing missionary trips and preaching out there for missions. And I preached at this one crusade we had. There was about 15,000 Hindus there. And I gave an appeal for salvation after preaching a 20-minute gospel message. 2,000 people came out. They threw their cigarettes onto the platform. They took off the little things that they had wrapped around them, threw them on there, the little gods that they worshipped. And I was praising God. And I said, look at this. Isn't this great? To the missionaries, look at this, what we've got. This is wonderful. You know, he said to me, he said, John, don't get too excited. We will be blessed if we can get 25 people here to be baptized. I said, what? He says, John, you've just given an appeal to these people to come to the front, let Jesus set them free. Jesus forgive them. Jesus prosper them. Of course they're going to ask for that. But these are Hindus. They already have 3 million gods. Another one isn't going to make a lot of difference. But if this one can help them more than the others, they'll go for it. They don't mind putting a cross in their up on the wall there, or a picture of the Virgin Mary, or picture of what, they don't mind doing that because they've got all their other gods. He said, if I can get people through to baptism, people who are really standing for God, we've done well. Well, about a fortnight passed and he'd worked with these people. And time came for baptism. And he actually got about 23 people to be baptized, 15 of whom were women. And so he said, we're going to baptize these. It was a Monday morning. I'll never forget this as long as I live. He said, we've got to find some water first that we can baptize these people in, full immersion. That was a job. It took us about 2 hours before we could find some decent water to get, because we went to the rivers, and some of these rivers were parts that were controlled by the Hindus. Anyway, we found some eventually. And it was a hot day. So I'm standing there on the riverbank while these people were being prayed for. And they'd take each person and pray for them, take them into the water, baptize them, they come out, they pray for them again, get them back on dry land and pray for them again. And he must have seen me looking at my watch. Because you see, if we baptize 25 people, we can get through them in 15, 20 minutes. I had been standing there for 2 hours on that dry beach thing there within the water. I was standing there for 2 hours thinking, when's this going to finish? And the missionary saw me. And he came over to me and he says, you're wanting this to speed up, aren't you? I said, well, it wouldn't do any harm, would it? He said, let me just tell you something, John. This isn't the baptism that you have back home. He said, these people have drawn a line in the sand. Look at these women. When they go home tonight, most of them, if not all of them, will be kicked out of their homes, kicked out of their villages, because they become Christians and they have chosen Christ and given all the foreign gods away. He said, these are going to suffer. Some of these will be beaten tonight. Some of these women have got children. They'll not see them again. He says, so that's why we take a lot of time. And he said, if you don't like it, you go. We're going to continue with these people because they've crossed a line. This is baptism. This says, I'm turning my back on the world and I'm following Jesus. I want to tell you, how do you think that made me feel? I said, you can stay all day if you want. I'm with you. I really realized that, you know, I felt convicted. I was convicted of that. Because sometimes, let me just say, this baptism service that we're going to have this afternoon, it's not a game. It's not a game. It's drawing a line. You're saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Jesus, I'm going to believe in you. Jesus, I'm going to trust in you. And Jesus, I'm going to make a stand for you. I'm going to make a stand no matter what it costs. It may cost me my family. It may cost me my husband. It may cost me my career. It may cost me, I don't know what it is, Lord, but I'm making a stand for you. That's what Christianity is about. And if you think, because we don't see persecution, physical persecution in Australia, if you think it doesn't happen today, you ought to travel with me. I could take you to some areas where physical persecution takes place, where Christians are in prison, mothers are in prison, being separated from their children because of their belief in Jesus Christ. We saw the other day just a video of a young girl, a Hindu girl. We saw it. They took the photographs. Video of her being burned to death. She was a young girl, a teenager, because she went to a Christian prayer meeting. This happened just 4, 5, 6 weeks ago. We watched them. The crowd stood around and poured stuff. They beat her first, then they poured these accelerants on her and set her alight. Killed her. She'd only been to a Christian prayer meeting. Don't think it doesn't happen. I tell you, to make a stand for Jesus is a real thing. And these people here in Galatia, Paul was saying, you stand. Because the Romans were there. The Roman gods were there. They said, you stand whatever it costs you. And many Christians were crucified. Many Christians were burned at the stake. Many Christians were fed to animals because they made a stand for Jesus. And I look at our churches sometime today in Australia and think to myself, dear God, where are we going? It becomes a game. It becomes religion. Religion is so easy to give away, but you can't give Jesus away. Amen. And if you've not been baptized, if there's people here who've never been baptized, I mean immersed, I'm not talking about sprinkled. If you've never actually been baptized in water, what an opportunity today. I don't know, because some of you may never, you've been a Christian for a long time, some of you, but you've never been baptized. Well, why don't you make a stand? Why don't you have the guts and the gumption to stand up and say, I'm going to follow Jesus. Because he was baptized and he wanted me to be baptized. Jesus said, go into the world and baptize all those people who believe. Baptize them. Come on, I hope some of you are feeling guilty right now. If you've never been baptized, because there's an opportunity this afternoon for you. Before the third world war comes. Well, you don't know, do you? I'm serious. Hey, we laugh, but I tell you what. The Russians are already planning something. Don't make no mistake about this. You've got two idiots at the top. You've not got two rational people. You've got idiots who don't want to back down. I'm telling you, this is serious stuff. We're living in a serious time. Time that Christians got serious with God. You make a stand. You Christians, make a stand for what you believe. If you've got a marriage that feels worth fighting for, then fight for it in the name of Jesus. Don't give in. Don't give up. If you've got kids that are worth fighting for, fight for them. Dig your heels in and say, devil, you've come far enough. You ain't coming no further. I'm standing for my family. I'm standing for my kids. I'm standing for my parents. I'm standing for those who believe. Satan, you can throw what you like at me, but I'm standing in the armor of God. And I've got the shield of faith. And whatever you throw at me, it ain't going to penetrate here because this shield of faith is going to stop it. We used to sing a chorus years ago. I'm not going to sing it to you, it's so simple. Some of you, as soon as I start, you'll know it. But some of you younger ones don't. We used to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. If no one joins me, still I will follow. If no one joins me, still I will follow. If no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. I'm not following the world. I'm following Jesus, who died on the cross for me. So I wonder this morning, God's put this word on my heart. I struggled with it a little bit, but I think he's put it there for a reason. He's asking us to make a stand. Especially in this day and age, we don't know what's going to happen. But make a stand. Make a stand for Jesus. Make a stand against addictions. Make a stand against a troubled marriage. Make a stand against kids that are wayward. Make a stand and say, Jesus, I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to make a stand against lust. Make a stand. Make a stand against greed. Make a stand. Make a stand against unforgiveness. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart to people, cut it out. Make a stand against it. Say, this is not good. God's forgiven me. If God has forgiven me, I should forgive others. Come on. God's made a stand for me. I want to make a stand for Jesus. I'm going to do it, Jesus. Your cross before me, the world behind me. I don't want to look at the world. The world is no different to what it was 2,000 years ago. Okay, you see, yes, it is. What do you mean by that? Well, we've got cars. We've got motorbikes. We've got push bikes. We've got tanks. We've got airplanes. We didn't have them 2,000 years ago. But what they had 2,000 years ago was sorrow, pain, anguish, fear, worry, anxiety. But we haven't got that today, have we? Have we? You know we have, more than ever before. Wow. I want to make a stand for Jesus. I feel like today, I want to make a fresh stand for him. I want to stand for him. I want to say, Jesus, you know, you saved me a long time ago, but sometimes I let things slip. Sometimes I'm not as honest to you as I should be. But today you've spoken to me. Help me to stand for you. Are there things in your life that you know you should make a stand on? And don't go to sleep, nobody. Nobody go to sleep. And I hope nobody will sleep when we're preaching. Somebody was sleeping last week when Pastor Pamela was preaching. Don't. If I see you sleeping, I'm going to wake you up. She's too gentle to do that, but I won't. Stay with me, because this is the word of God that I'm preaching to you. This is the word of God. If God has spoken to you, and there's things that you know you need to make a stand on, that you've let go, you've let slip. Maybe it was prayer. Maybe it was a reading of the word. Maybe you don't read the Bible like you did. Maybe you don't pray like you used to. I don't know what it may be, but there may be something that you're not making a stand for. Well, why don't you do so today? Why don't you get up from your seat as an act of what Paul says, stand. Listen to what he says. Stand fast. Stand firm in the freedom that Christ has set you free, and don't get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. If you need to make a stand, and nobody's going to laugh at you or call you, if you need to make a stand, just get up from your seat and come and stand at the front here as an act together that we're going to stand for Jesus in this day and age in which we live. Just get up from your seats now, if God's spoken to you, and come and stand here. If you need that, yeah, I've got to stand. I've let some things go. I've let some things slip. But right now, I want to stand afresh for Jesus. Come on. Let God speak to you. Let God take your life. That's what we're saying. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I'm going to wait another moment, then I'm going to start to pray. And let the Lord just touch you now. Father, just keep moving by your Spirit. If we have to move the front row back, just push it back so others can come if they need to do that. Because I like people to be right at the front. So push the rows back if you can without hurting anyone. Just gently do that. And let's make sure everybody's here that needs to be here. That you feel, yep, I want to make a fresh stand, a fresh start, a fresh call for Jesus. For Jesus. For Jesus. Not for me, but for Jesus. He did it all for me, you see. He's already done it. So I want to stand for him. Thank
kurkushunda kushtukushukaraha dabodokokoroshula babababaha hishtashundo kuhundo shudakabababoroka.
For I am calling my church to stand for me in this day and age, saith the Lord. I'm talking to my church worldwide to make a stand for me. Stand fast in the freedom that I've set you free, saith the Lord. Don't get entangled again with sin. Don't get entangled again with selfishness. Don't get entangled again with fear. Don't get entangled. Don't be like that. Don't let the enemy, the devil, get you in his net and entangle you. Stay free, for the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you and set you free, saith the Lord. Stay free. Stand free. Whatever the cost, whatever the cost, whatever you face, and the Lord will say to you this day, I know what is going to happen. I know the future. I've already predicted it in my word. My word predicts that this world does not improve. My word predicts that this world gets worse, gets darker, gets into more pain and anguish. I have predicted it. I have predicted wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes in different places. I predicted the selfishness, the greed, the pride of man. I've predicted it, saith the Lord. It's not new. What the preacher is saying to you today is not new. I have predicted it. It's been in my word for hundreds and hundreds of years. I know what tomorrow holds. I know what you will be making a stand against. But the Lord would say, make that stand for me. Put on my armor, and I will bring you through. I will bring you through triumphant. I will bring you through victorious. I will bring you through glorious, saith the Lord, as you put on my armor and stand firm for me. So do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of what you have to go home to or what you face at work. Do not be afraid of what you face in the newspapers or the news on the television. Fear not. For I am with you, saith the Lord. I have called you by name. You may go through the waters, but you will not drown. You may go through the fire, but you will not burn. For I know your name, and I have called you. As you stand for me, I will bring you through, saith the Lord. Father, thank you for that word. I stand here, Lord, with these people. I don't stand apart from them or aloof from them. I stand with them, Lord. We stand today. Lord, I've been saved for many, many years, and often you have challenged me to make a fresh stand. Here today, Lord, on this Sunday morning, I stand with my brothers and sisters to make a fresh stand for you. All of us are doing this now, Lord. I pray that you will strengthen us, encourage us, and help us to go on with you from strength to strength, from glory to glory. Lord, just bless the word and let it sink in our hearts. And when the enemy comes to attack us, help us, Lord, to have that whole armor of God, so we know we're not struggling against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness. But we have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. May every person at this altar now have that full realization they have the victory through Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Just while you're standing there, I'm going to throw this out. This might not work. We've got time to sing. I've decided. Do you know that I've decided to follow Jesus?
I know a different version.
Can you start us off on the right? Let's. Come on. Who'd like to sing that? I've decided to follow Jesus. All stand. In fact, all of you who are standing or who are sitting down there, stand up. Come on, close to us. Come on, church. Let's be close today. No, let's be segregated. Let's be close. Come on, kick the chairs back. We're going to sing it from our hearts. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. Come on down quick. Run down. Come on. Kick the chairs back and let's be together as one family. Come on. Come down. Don't stand there. Come on. Come on down. You can stay on the back, but come sit. If you need to sit down at the back, you can. But let's be together. Okay, here we go. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
I've decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. If no one joins me, well, behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. Amen. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow.
No turning back. No turning back. I have decided.
I have decided.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and grant to you all His own sweet peace. And if there's anyone who's never been baptized and you want to be, come and see Pastor Pamela. Here she is, and say, I want to be baptized this afternoon. If that's never happened and you haven't got your name down already to be baptized, okay, go and enjoy the food. First there, get served. Go.